Amen. So wonderful tonight to be in the house of the Lord. I believe I say it every time I preach. I'd rather be here than be in jail. Amen. I'd rather be here than in the hospital. I'd rather be here than in hell. Amen. That's where I was headed, not for the great salvation of Jesus Christ. I didn't have the opportunity, as Brother Vaughn testified, to be raised in a Christian family. I know what it is to lie awake on a park bench wondering, is someone going to shoot you or stab you or rob you? I know what it's like to go days without eating and not because we're fasting. I knew what it was like to have a mother that was never there and also a father. 4 years old, my dad walked out, never walked back in my life. And my mom, through the years, she had me at 15, tried to do the best she could, tried to raise us. And she was married 6 times as a kid as I was growing up. Dated many other men. We traveled. I went to 13 different schools before high school. And I went to 4 different high schools. Just moved all the time. It was common as early as 9 and 10 years old to wake up and mom to be gone and not come home for 2 weeks, not know where she's at. I didn't have the privilege of growing up with a mom or a dad that said, son, pray over your food or thank God or read your Bible. We never had a Bible as a kid in our house. I don't think we hated God. We just didn't see any need of him. That's all it was. And I grew up in that kind of life as early as 12, 13, drinking, smoking, doing drugs. I remember I was 13 years old, driving everywhere, just as a young man. I'd drive. My mom's boyfriends, they'd get drunk. They'd call me. I'd go pick them up at the bar, drive them home. Just had a very, very difficult life. And I'm not asking for pity tonight, because it was that life that at 18 years old, when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, it's made me very, very thankful and very grateful for what he did for me. I look at Calvary. I look at nails and blood and stripes and crowns of thorns and think, oh God, if you paid such a price for a wretch like me, how could I live any day of my life and not serve this great God? How could I live any day and not give him everything within me? If he wants me in the jungle, my God, let me get to the jungle. Whatever my God wants, there's no sacrifice too great. I hear people, I was in line one night going into a restaurant on a Saturday night, and the woman in front of me, she said, oh, I have to go to church tomorrow because it's Easter. I said, ma'am, I said, people around the world don't even have a church and don't even know the name of Jesus, and you complain about having to go. I think after he did so much for us, that fire he's put inside, the new life that we have, we should ever live to be a people of praise unto the Lord, a people of praise. Can you see young David? I'm not preaching, I'm just happy, folks. Can you see young David? Oh, he's out there. He has 6 older brothers. There's no way he'll ever be anything in the kingdom of God. He's a little boy. He's a shepherd. He'll never be nothing, but he has a heart to love God. And one day, Samuel says, bring me the boy. He's young. He's ruddy. He walks up there, and the next thing he knows, oil is being poured on his head. He's anointed the next king of Israel as a young boy. And that anointing, he knew he wasn't worthy. He knew he wasn't good enough. He knew nothing good was inside of him. So every psalm you read, he's praising God, thanking God for where he had brought him in his life. The Bible says in Romans, the people were not thankful and they became vain in their imaginations. That means they thought they did it themselves. They thought they got the job. They thought they were good enough. They didn't need his righteousness, didn't need his holiness. They thought they could do it on their own, and they became vain. It wasn't long. They was a reprobate people, folks. Oh, as long as I can see my need of Christ, I'll stay on my knees in prayer. As long as I can see that need. Hallelujah. I'll just get off that subject. I can preach all day, folks. I'm so thankful for what he's done for me. Every song we sing, that I could bring glory to God somehow. Every day I live, that somehow I can bring glory to God with that day. Somehow to tell somebody else about the lamb that was slain. To tell somebody what God's done for me. That I could live a life that when I see Christ, He'd say, well done, good and faithful servant. That I can live a life that if somebody was following in my footsteps, it'd lead them right to the gate of heaven. If somebody else, when I die, they took my life and they said, I want to be like that, that my life would lead them to heaven and not lead them to hell. I've seen many people they called men of God. I've been with them. I was privileged to travel with Pastor Clendenin. And when I was with him, we would meet other great ministers. You would think they were holy. You would think they were righteous. They were great, great preachers. But when they got alone, they were talking about their adultery and their X-rated movies. And they were talking about their nights of drunkenness. Everybody seen them being so great, but they were leading a path that was headed straight to hell. I'm telling you, folks, we want to live a life every minute of the day that's pointing somebody toward heaven and not pointing them to hell. Live a life pleasing unto the one who has called us out of darkness to bring glory to His dear Son. Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach if you shout anyway. So you might as well shout. Amen. I'm just going to preach, I tell you. Coming into mission conference this week, I always think about missions. When it comes to missions, every one of us in this room are doing one of four things. Either you're giving nothing, which simply means we are voting to bring every missionary home. If you don't give to missions, you are saying there's no need, bring the missionaries home. We don't need that. That's what the Methodist Church did last year. When their finances got low, they said, bring the missionaries home. We need to establish the base. And that's what they did. A lot of people, they give nothing. They said, bring the missionaries home. Some people are giving less than they gave last year. They're saying, deduct the work. Slow it down. We don't need so many missionaries. They're giving less than they gave last year. Some people are giving the same amount, which means let's just keep the work maintained. Let's do what we did last year and let's work from there. And others are giving more than they gave. They're saying let's expound the work. Let's do more than we did last year. Let's take more kingdoms from the darkened powers. Let more people hear the gospel. We're doing one of four things tonight. Either you're doing nothing, you're doing less, the same, or doing more. The Bible said to abound until He comes, to be doing more than we've ever done before. Amen. To do more of people, not just financially, folks, but do more witnessing, do more praying as we see the day approaching. Surely the day is at hand. Surely the day is at hand. Last Sunday was Resurrection Sunday. People across Mississippi, Alabama, Chattanooga, the churches was filled on Resurrection Sunday. Those people had a choice to serve God. That preacher preached. They had choices to make. Some people left that service thinking maybe next week I'll get right with God. Little did they know those tornadoes of Tuesday and Wednesday would come through, and 300 of them, folks, ended up in eternity. They thought they had time to do more for God. They thought they had time to get right. I'm telling you, if you could bring all three of them back from the grave and put them here tonight, they'd all say to you, do more for God. Live for God, serve God. Whether they ended up in hell or they ended up in heaven, every one of them would say, I wish I'd have did more than I did in this life. Every one of them. I've been at the deathbed of people and they all say, I wish I'd have did more for God. They never say, I wish I'd have worked more hours so I could have left a bigger inheritance. Every one of them wanted to do more than they'd ever done before. That's the cry tonight. That's the cry of Christ. It's the cry of the church. It's the cry of the mission world. As you heard Sister Allender this morning, the trail of tears. Folks, if those in Mexico are willing to die and be beat and persecuted and killed, if they're willing, we must be willing to send somebody to reach them. Must send somebody that would encourage them. We must be willing to do all we can do in this hour. Amen. Amen. To do everything we can. for the Lord is soon to come. Part the clouds. We sing about the rapture. We sing about Him coming, and we act like He's not coming. We act like He's delaying, but He is not delaying. Soon and very soon, we shall see the King. Friend of mine, I've asked for prayer tonight. 70 years old. Thinks he has 20 years at least left in perfect health. Went to bed on Tuesday night. Woke up Wednesday morning in a massive heart attack. They put him on ice trying to calm his body down. When they took him off of it on Thursday, he went into violent seizures and he's never regained consciousness. He thought he had years left. 3 weeks ago, I got a call on a Saturday. My cousin, 33 years old, ran off the road, hit a tree. The car burst into flames. She burned to death in the car. They couldn't pull her out. Oh, if my cousin could come back from wherever she's spending eternity, I'm sure she'd say to you, I wish I'd have did more in this life than I did. She'd say to you, I wish I'd have done more. So many wait till it's too late. You don't think about your body and health until you have a heart attack. You don't think about getting that car, getting gas in it many times till the gas light comes on. We don't think about eternity until eternity is knocking on our doorstep. We must be a people ready to meet the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'll just keep preaching. I hit a line here somewhere, folks. Something's got to preach. My Lord. If you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 20. I won't tell so many missions before I preach because the message is on missions. Sister Allender, I find it very hard to preach on missions because I see their faces and it haunts me. I go back to the time me and my wife was working in the slums. We literally, a city of 9 million people, we rented a little house in a slum area. It would rain and literally the water would be knee deep of sewage. We would have to walk through that sewage to go anywhere. It would burn and blister your skin. It was so nasty. We worked amongst those people in the slums for 1 month. We lived among them. We tried to reach them. We prayed with them. We did everything we could to reach those people. Oh, I see them. I can still see that little boy and him and his sister. They're both naked. They're in a pile of trash fighting dogs and cats for apple and banana peels, fighting, trying to have something to eat. I said to my wife, I said, Emma, what chance do these kids have if we don't get Christ to them? It's hard for me to preach missions. I see those Muslims of Pakistan that I preached to last year. Hundreds of them standing there and me telling them about Jesus. It haunts me as I preach on a Sunday morning in a market to over 100 people. And as I preach, some came to Christ, but some did not. And the next morning, a terrorist went in that market with a bomb on him, blew himself up. Over 100 people died the very next day. It haunts me, that little village in Jharkhand, India. Only 20 churches in the entire state of Jharkhand, very persecuted. I went there and preached on Saturday night. The entire village came out. They beat the drums. They shouted. They danced. They welcomed me like a king into their village. I preached Christ to every one of them. I don't know how many was saved, how many was not, but I do know the next morning, a terrorist went in that village with a machine gun and killed 23 of those I preached to the day before. Haunts me to know how many have went into eternity in my 10 years of being a missionary. How many lives have slipped through my hands and made hell their home. It's hard for me to preach on missions and I don't take it lightly, folks. But to this tonight, I want to talk a little on missions and pray that it challenge us to do more than we have ever done. I'm preaching the glory and the shame of the Lord's day. The glory and the shame of the Lord's day. Go with me to Acts chapter number 20, verse number 7. Pastor Jarvis, Sister Jarvis, we thank you so much for having us this week. Great blessing to us to be here. We thank you for your continual support. We thank the church for all that you do. It's surely a vision. A church with a vision for missions. And we are grateful. I tell you, the people that we take the gospel to, they're grateful. Amen. Those people in Cambodia will be eternally grateful in 2 weeks when they hear about this great Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost and the life of Christ. And the people those people reach will be eternally grateful for the things that somebody gave to send a missionary to them. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7, the Bible reads, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on tomorrow, and continued his speech until midnight." I've learned very soon and in ministry, there's two miracles in this testimony. Two miracles took place. They came together. They're going to break bread together. And Paul began to preach. The first miracle was there was a preacher that had something to say about Jesus Christ. He could preach all day if the need be. He had something to say for the God that he served. He wasn't digging in scripture, trying to find something about God. God filled him. He had a testimony. He was ready to meet God, and he was ready to tell other people about it. Oh, there was a testimony of a man full of God, ready to tell the world what Jesus had done in his life. The testimony, the miracle that a preacher could preach all day long about the greatness of God and never skip a beat. He could preach from the morning until midnight and never run out of things to say about how great God had been. Oh, that a preacher preached Christ and lives were changed. The miracle that we have something to say for God. Say it on our jobs. Say it on the streets. Say it in the church. Tell them in the prison. There's a miracle that somebody has something to say for God. I was on a train one time. You know this testimony. I was on a train one time coming across India, and a woman got on the train from Romania. She found out I was American. She didn't even want to sit by me. She asked, "Can I change my seat?" And the man told her, "No, you can't change. You have to sit there." Well, I had 6 hours before the train stopped, and I thought, I'm not going to waste this opportunity. I began in the book of Genesis. I talked about who created the heavens and the earth. I talked about Adam in sin. I talked about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. 6 hours, folks. She's not listening. She has her head down, but I'm preaching on anyway. I'm telling the story. Oh, I finally got down the line to Christ being born, the spotless lamb. They beat him, nailed him, and he rose from the grave. I said, "He's coming back. You must be ready." And when I said that, I've been preaching for 6 hours to that woman. The whole train is listening. I finally, she looked up with tears coming down her face. She said, "I want to be ready when this Jesus comes back. I want to be ready when he comes for his church." She's crying. And then she told me the testimony. She said, 7 years ago, I was in Romania. I was studying in the college there, and they had a book on religion. And I opened it up at India. It fell to India. And a voice said to me, "If you go to India, you'll find out who God is." She said, "I've been in India 7 years. This is March. On May, I'm going home, and I haven't found God, but I found him today on this train. I found who God was today on this train." I got up and she grabbed me. "What can I do?" I said, "Get a Bible, read it, and everything it says, do what it says. Pray every day, read your Bible, do what it says." I said, "I'll see you when he comes again." I got off that train. She was crying like a baby. I'm telling you, folks, we must be able in any hour of any day to tell people how good God's been unto you and I. Amen. Oh, there must be a testimony. But the second testimony was, the second miracle, there was a church willing to listen to a preacher preach Christ. Oh, folks, you're going to have to help me. One man could preach all day, but there was a church that wanted to hear what God was doing. They wasn't interested in getting to the Arby's or the Steak and Shake or Wendy's. They wanted to hear what the preacher had to say. If he preached 8 hours, they wanted to hear. They hadn't got tired of hearing the gospel story. They hadn't got tired of hearing the testimonies of the greatness of God. If Paul preached till midnight or till the next morning, let's stay and listen to what the man man of God has to say. Oh, one man fell out the window. He died. They went down, raised him up, kept preaching the gospel, folks. I'm telling you, oh, that we have an ear to hear what thus saith the Lord. On my little iPod, I've got about 2,000 sermons on there. And when I travel, I never get tired of hearing the message. I've heard Soldiers by Pastor Clendenin probably 1,000 times. It never gets old to hear somebody telling me about my Savior and bragging on how great my God is. Oh, there's a testimony of a man that could preach and a church that could hear, and the dead was raised because of that testimony. They weren't scared to preach and they weren't scared to listen, and God worked miracles. That ain't part of the sermon. I just threw that in there. The sermon is they met on the first day of the week. Go with me to Revelation chapter 1. Y'all probably thinking right now, am I going to preach till midnight? Amen. Getting kind of worried. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10. The Bible reads, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Once again, folks, we must be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. When we come together on the first day of the week, on Sunday, to worship God, as we come together to talk to God and have the singing and the worship and the giving and the preaching, we all must be in the Spirit of God. We have a generation that knows nothing about the power of the Holy Ghost, the power that would cast out devils, the power that gives you victory over sin. We have a generation, they talk in tongues, but they don't live a life that backs up what they say they are. Oh, if you're a Marine, there should be a testimony that you're a Marine. People should know that. If you say, when I go to foreign countries, they say, where are you from? I say, America. They should hear me. They should look at me. Should be a testimony where I'm from. And when it comes to being Pentecostal, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, there should be a testimony. We are what we say we are. We're a different people, set aside, even be a little peculiar sometimes. So what? Oh, I want to please God. I don't want to please man. I'm going to meet him. I ain't answering to those people. I'll answer to God for how I live my life. I want to be somebody that brings glory to God. I want to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I want God to talk to us, folks. I want to hear His voice again. The glory and the shame of the Lord's day. First point I want to make is the glory of this day. I don't know if you realized it, but about 18 hours ago, the sun broke on Sunday morning out in the Polynesian Islands, out off of Vanuatu, out off of Samoa. The sun came up, and early in the morning, people out in Polynesia, French Polynesia, they began to get on their knees, and they began to worship and to praise God. Somebody was the very first person to praise God on the Lord's day. Somebody was the first person out there. If you have an imagination like I do, can you see the gospel? Oh, as the sun comes up in Polynesia, the church around 8, 9 o'clock, they begin to worship God. Somebody strikes up the song, Amazing Grace. They begin to praise God in their Polynesian native tongue. Then as the sun begins to carry on somewhere around Vanuatu, New Guinea, Australia, they all of a sudden start going to church, and then they begin to worship. And as the sun continues to go along, then we move into China and Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, Myanmar. We move in into Bangladesh and India, Sri Lanka. Can you see the sun's progression across the earth? Every single hour, people began to worship God in their native language. They begin to lift hands. I can see villages across the world today as people are calling upon the name of the Lord, and God is being glorified. Today, folks, the glory of this day, every hour, God is hearing in a different language, people worshiping and magnifying His name. Villages across the world, that little tiny village on the Nepal border where we put a church last year, I can see this morning as our little pastor about that high, as he would have taken and he would have said, let's sing, turning his songbooks, let's sing unto God. I can see that little church in Lahore, Pakistan, as in that Urdur language, as they would have said, everybody stand this morning and let's begin to praise God. Oh, the sun would have carried the gospel, and then across the Middle East, people would have been hiding there in Saudi Arabia, the underground church. They'd have begun to meet in parking lots and get in buses and travel down the road, and they'd go down to little shopping centers, go in the basement and begin to have church. All across Iran today, can you picture, if they get caught, they're going to die, but something about the Lord's day. Oh, we must get together. We must worship God as our hands would be raised. That gospel follows the sun, moves over into Africa, moves at the exact same time into Europe, into Germany, Sweden, Denmark, Holland, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales. At the same time, you have Turkey, Spain, Portugal, you have these countries, and all of a sudden they began to worship God. The sun's moving, folks. Every hour, it moves to a different time zone. And as it moves to that next time zone, another group begins to worship. Oh, church starting everywhere I go, around 10 or 11 o'clock, every hour of this day, a new group of people, the African bush of the Congo, they start worshiping God. There across the Ivory Coast, across the jungles of Kenya and Nigeria, there in northern Nigeria, as the Muslim stronghold is so strong, but up there, there'd have been a little church today, out under a little bramble bush, that'd have been lifting their hands and calling on the name of the great Jehovah across the world. And all of a sudden, there comes a little gap as time hits there on that Atlantic Ocean. And all of a sudden, like a mighty rushing roar from God, it hits that Atlantic coast, and from New York to all the way to Miami, the whole Atlantic coast strikes up at the same time. Praise unto the great God, Jehovah, and His Son, Jesus. Across North and South Carolina and Georgia, Virginia, West Virginia, all across Maryland, all the trumpet would sound, even into London, Kentucky, as people would begin to worship God like a mighty wave. Oh, as pastors are saying, across America, every hour, folks, a different place would start their worship to God. I pray you're following me. I got a vivid imagination. I can picture it, folks. I can picture, because I've been to many time zones, how this looks. I can picture at 10 o'clock, there around 11, 10:45, as people in New York are worshiping. But as that hour goes by, then someone over on the next time zone, Alabama, Chicago, Detroit, these places began to worship God. Oh, you know, God understands hillbilly. He understands redneck. He understands New Jerseyan. He understands all those different dialects we have. Oh, as the time breaks, and all of a sudden, they're worshiping in Dallas, Houston, Fort Worth, Oklahoma City, Tulsa. People are calling upon the Lord. And then the time goes on. At that exact time, they're down in Haiti worshiping God. They're in Guatemala, Nicaragua, down in Mexico on the border for their lives. They can be killed, but their hands are raised and they're worshiping the great God Almighty. They could die for it, but they're worshiping God. As time begins to move on, it moves on to the next of the mountains of Nevada and the mountains of Oregon, and it moves out to the Pacific Ocean, and then it moves on around through Alaska, and the day begins to end. But can you see there is a steady progression around the world as different tribes and different languages? I wrote down today a few languages that worship God. Listen to these languages. There's the Mandarin, the Spanish, English, Hindi, Arabic, Bengali, Portuguese, Russian, Japanese, German, Javanese, Punjabi, French, Korean, Tamil, Turkish, Italian, Cantonese. All these different languages begin to worship God. And God begins to receive glory from His church. Oh, that people are receiving and worshiping God. And God is blessing His people. You want to think about how great God is? You want to think about how infinite He is? He hears the prayers this morning. He heard the worship from this church this morning at the exact same time He heard the church in Haiti as they worshiped. He heard every one of their voices. All the way down to Brazil, Argentina, down to Uruguay, Paraguay, Peru, Chile. Not only did He hear their voices, He knew the intent of their heart as they cried unto God. But not only are people worshiping God, but across the world today, people began to read the Word of God. They are villages today. Last year, they didn't have a written Bible, but they have one today. For the first time, I was there in Punjab. They didn't have a Bible last year, but one of those little tribes this year got the Bible translated for the first time. A little Punjab. Punjabi pastor would have opened up his brand new Bible this Sunday morning and would begin to read John 3:16 in his native language. Across the world today, people are reading the Word of God. For thousands of years, from the time of Christ all the way to 1611, they hardly had no Bible. But today, 4,000 people groups have Bibles to read. Last year, they didn't have them, but this year, oh, glory to God. They have a Bible thanks to the translators, the Wycliffes and the others. Oh, they have Bibles for the first time. I remember going to a village and they had the Bibles locked into cabinets, but it's the only Bibles they had. But glory to God, they had the Word of God in their own language. Not only across the world today, I don't know, 4,000 different languages has been translated, but also today, somebody will be standing preaching the Word of God in all of these different languages. One man in the Chinese, the Mandarin, stands up, and someone in Taiwan stands up and begins to call sinners unto repentance. Begins to call people back to God. Oh, by the foolish of preaching, God saving souls. Across India, across Sri Lanka today, somebody was standing up in that village and calling the people back to God. He was standing up across the Himalayan mountains into Tibet, all of those countries. Oh, somebody was standing and preaching the Word of God. God's Word was preached around the world today, folks. Oh, I know it's getting late in the night, but the gospel has been preached literally around the world today. In 200 countries, the gospel was preached today. Hallelujah. Not only was it preached today somewhere out in a little tribal hut in New Guinea, a man heard the gospel and he walked the aisle and he knelt down and for the first time in his life, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. There are people today that have been saved by the glory of God on this glorious day. Something about the Lord's day. As people are giving their hearts to Christ, have you ever thought like I do? How many people get saved on Sunday? How many sinners walk aisles and like I did, like you did, and kneel down and give their hearts to Jesus Christ? Across the world today, folks, in all languages, as the gospel was preached, people came down and received the gospel. They received salvation all across South America, all the way up through Canada. Oh, last year, Brother Martin and his family, they went up the tribes up there, the Eskimo people, up to Alaska, and they put a church. Well, glory to God, today that little pastor would have been preaching and a little Eskimo would have walked down the aisle and would have gave his heart to Jesus Christ. That'd have been a new name wrote down in glory. Hallelujah. Now think crazy like I think, folks. The Bible said when one sinner is saved, all of heaven rejoices. What must it sound like as one sinner up maybe in the state of Maine, they give their heart to Jesus and all of heaven rejoices at the exact same time somebody down at the bottom of the of South Pole, somebody down in a country of Argentina at the exact same moment give their heart to Christ? Can you see heaven rejoicing as they say, there's another one. Oh, glory to God. There's another one. Glory. They look at Christ. Jesus, they've come into the kingdom. Write their name in the Lamb's book of life and all of heaven be rejoicing one after the other. Every time zone, as people's given their hearts to Christ, one after the other, as heaven would be rejoicing. How many people do you think got saved today? How many folks? Oh, I am rejoicing in God. But not only are people getting saved literally around the world today, people that never heard the gospel are hearing it for the first time, but also somebody today rolled in a church in a little wheelchair and they left the wheelchair in the church and walked out healed by the power of God. Oh, I remember in India, as they brought me one Sunday, a little baby. The baby was so swollen, looked like a balloon. And they said, grandmother said to me, this baby is going to die. It cannot live. It's going to die. It has a liver infection. Kidneys have shut down. It's going to die. I took that baby. We began to pray and believe God. I gave the baby back to that grandmother. 3 weeks later, she came back holding a little baby, skinny as can be. I said, is this a different grandbaby? She said, it's the same baby. It was healed by the power of God. That God had raised that baby even from the dead. I'm telling you, folks, around the world today, people were healed by the power of God. They came into church, broke backs. Some came into church, withered legs. We had a church in India we planted in Jammu and Kashmir. That is a very difficult place. The Hindus and Muslims are fighting for that land. And it's very difficult. And we planted a church up in Jammu. And up in that state, we have a little pastor called Paul Ballen. Paul Ballen said one Sunday morning, he was preaching the gospel. And they carried a Muslim woman in. Her legs was literally crippled. They were twisted. Her ankles were twisted the opposite way. She couldn't walk. They brought her in. Him, set her down. He came out. He laid hands on her. And when he did, she jumped up, her legs straightened out, and she ran right out of the church. He said, where's she going? I just prayed for her. She just got healed. He said to me with his eyes wide open, he said, Brother Hamby, it's the first time I've ever prayed God healed somebody. They didn't give God glory. He said, she ran right out of the church. He said, I kept on preaching, and a few minutes later, there she come with a mob of people. He said, I thought they were going to kill me, all Muslims. He said, they came right to the back of the church, and they're demanding to know what happened to this lady. They are demanding. She was crippled. She's healed. What happened to her? He said, I prayed in the name of Jesus, and Jesus healed her. Oh, folks, over 200 Muslims were born again that day. Day by the testimony of Jesus Christ. Around the world today, people are being healed by the power of God. Miracles are taking place. I remember I was in Bonifay, Florida one Sunday night. I was preaching a little better than I'm preaching tonight, but I was preaching on, and a woman came up. She said, my daughter is 18 years old. She ran away from home a few weeks ago. She hasn't called me. I don't know where she's at. She said, Brother Hamby, I just want my daughter to come home. I'll forgive her for what she's done. I just want my daughter to come home. We laid hands on that mother, and the mother fell on the ground, weeping so hard. Within a few seconds, the back door of the church, it burst open, and an 18-year-old daughter came running down the aisle, fell on her mother. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry I ran away. Those two, at the end of service, was holding each other weeping and crying. God's working miracles on this Sunday night across the world today. If the things were about Christ, the world couldn't contain the books when He lived. Can you imagine the testimonies of heaven, folks? Oh, think about it. Don't have a narrow mind. God's bigger than London, Kentucky. I say that with greatest respect. God cares about every single person on the face of this earth. He cares about broken bodies. He cares about leukemia patients. He cares about wheelchair patients. God cares. Oh, that Jesus was given and stripes on His back for healing, folks. Oh, He gave His Son that we could be healed. Today, souls are saved. They're being healed. Miracles are taking place. I was over in Bowling Green, Kentucky in revival last year, and a woman came in, said, "My husband has filed for divorce." Said, "He gave me the papers. Tomorrow morning, we have to go to the courthouse. He's divorcing me." She said, "I've been with him 20 years. She said, "Brother Hamby, he hasn't been faithful to me. He hasn't treated me good, but I love that man, and I don't want to lose my husband." We began to pray for that dear sister of God. We prayed and believed. The next night in the revival, they're sitting on the second row. She's sitting there, and the man standing right beside of her. She got up and testified. She said, "When I got to the courthouse this morning, he's weeping and crying. I don't want to divorce you. I want to get right. I want us to be in church together." Hallelujah. God worked a miracle and put a family back together. There's nothing too hard for my God. I pray you're with me. Do you get the picture? God is doing something great on this day, folks. I know there's something wonderful about Monday, but there's something about Sunday. Around the world, worshiping, preaching, praying, reading the Bible, salvation. Can you see it? You support so many missionaries in this church. If you take the map, put the dots where they are, and literally watch the clock as it goes by and say, right now, this hour, Brother Hamby's in India, and they're seeing God move. And go to the next hour and say, Brother so-and-so is here, and Sister Allender is here, and watch how God is moving every hour on the Lord's Day across the world. I tell you, Sunday, it is a glorious day, folks. God's working miracles in the lives of people. It's a glorious day. It's a day like no other. How many souls are saved on this most wonderful day? Now, for just a moment, let me speak about the shame of this day. The glory. So much has taken place. But what is the shame, Brother Hamby? The shame is, as the sun comes up on those Polynesian islands and it's going to set over in Alaska somewhere, there's the Hawaii Islands. As the sun comes up in Polynesian, it sets over near Hawaii and Alaska. As the sun sets tonight, 2 billion people have still never heard that name, not even one time. As the sun comes up on this glorious day, a great day that it is, but when the sun sets tonight, there'll be 2 billion people that have still never heard this name. Think about it. 6,644 people groups have nobody actively working among them. 6,644 people group, folks, have nobody working there. There's no church. There's no Bibles given out. Nobody's going to reach those people. As the sun sets, 6,000 different people groups are wondering, when is the gospel coming? Wondering why they're worshiping donkeys and cows and the sun and Allah. Among these, 2.75 billion people have never heard the name of Jesus. As we go to sleep tonight, think about half of the world doesn't know the God that you know. It's a shame to you and I, folks, that after so many years, so little has been done. 2,200 languages in the world have no written word of God. While you and I, we have 66 books in the Bible, 30-some thousand different scriptures is there. While we have so much, there's literally 2,000 languages don't even have one word translated tonight. Oh, folks. I went to an area one time, had to preach through 2 translators. They didn't have the Bible. And I would say to them, for God so loved the world, He gave His Son. They'd say, Brother Hamby, are you lying to us? Are you telling us the truth? I'd say, I'm telling you the truth. I'd tell them how Jesus came and died. They'd say, how can we believe this? They had no written word of God in their language. How difficult it was to preach 2,200 languages tonight don't have a written word of God. Not only that, only a few thousand others have just the New Testament. I've preached many times and I say about Joseph and they say to me, we don't know who Joseph is. I say about Abraham, we don't know the story. Tell us about Moses. We've always wanted to know about this man named Moses in Hebrews 11. They don't have the Old Testament. They don't know what we know. It bothers me that I have so much of God and so many resources and they have nothing even to reference to. Not one scripture. Are you with me now? Not only that, God's word is polluted. It's watered down. It's not read. You and I have maybe 10 Bibles in every one of our houses. We have commentaries. We have bookshelves full of the Word of God, and it never gets read. The newspaper gets read more than the Bible gets read in our houses. The TV gets watched more than we spend time on our knees with God. We have so much to thank God for, and they have nothing at all. Oh, it should register to you and I. It should be a shame to us that we have so much of God. Not only that, in so many of the world, that God Almighty is not getting glorified. It's not, the message preached isn't a pure message. It's a message of giving. It's a message of only making the preacher rich. It's a message only wanting to build a kingdom for man. It's a shame, folks. So much false doctrine is in the world. When I go and I have to literally try to convince Catholics about Mary and I have to convince so many others about so much false doctrine in the world. Not just that. How many people came in the church today? How many? Just think about this. How many people came in the church today around the world and when they left, they were still lost? They had never accepted Christ. The glory, so many are getting saved. The shame is there's people walk out of that back door. They walk over that threshold of that church and go get in their cars and head off to hell where they're going. Heading off to the same hell they were going before they came in. The shame, folks, that so many come into church and they leave lost. It should burden us that ever a lost person would enter this church and leave the same way they are. Oh, it burdens me. It burdens me greatly around the world today. People came in the church lost and they walked out the back door lost. And not only that, I got you real quiet. Amen. I didn't mean to kill everything. Not only that, as people rolled in on wheelchairs and they rolled right back out on those wheelchairs. There were people came in the house of God today with broken marriages, needing God to touch, and they walked out the back door, hearing a program, and not seeing the truly living God. How? Think about it. If Jesus paid the price, He took the stripes, should not the people be healed? Should not God be moving in our lives? But across the world today, the testimonies died. They don't know the power of God that you and I know. It burdens me, folks. It burdens me when I go in a village and they bring 50 people up with diseases and only one or two of them leave healed. It burdens me that around the world, sickness has attacked in the church and the church don't have the power to attack back. I should have amen there somewhere. It burdens me that the devils came in like a flood, but for some reason the Spirit of the Lord hasn't been raised up to stop Him. We have more people on antidepressants in the church than in the world, folks. We have more people bound by drugs of prescription in the church than we have in the world. There's more divorces take place in the Pentecostal church than takes place in the world. It's a higher percentage. Something's wrong, folks. It burdens me on what's taking place. No miracles, No healings, no souls being saved. People come in our church and leave saying God is dead. What are you saying, Brother Hamby? This is the conclusion of the message. The truth is, when the sun came up this morning, it was a great day of possibility. It was a day that the whole world could be saved. Everybody could be healed. God could talk to every language in a Bible. He could speak in the power of a resurrected son. When the sun, the S-U-N came up, the S-O-N was to be glorified across the earth. The glory of this day is so much is done. But the shame of this day is when the sun sets tonight and you lay your head on your pillow, 2.75 billion people have still never heard the name of Jesus one time. The glory is, I've got so much of God, I don't even have time for Him. The shame is, if they just had one verse of scripture, they would believe in this God. The shame is, we come in sick and we believe God can't do it. The glory is that God does heal so many. The shame is we can't trust and believe Him. Folks around the world today, they're pleading in the Macedonia call, please come to my village. Please come to these different places. We had missionaries this week, Brother David Lloyd, saying if I could just build that building, I could put 700 children and let them hear the word of God and raise up an army. Shame is, he still needs $46,000 to do it. The glory is that God is going to do it. The shame, it might take 10 years to do it, folks. When the day come up this morning, God desires to do so much. Don't you think God desires in that little villages of China, little villages of Tibet and Afghanistan? Don't you think God wants His Son to receive glory in those villages? Don't you think God wants every tribe and every nation to hear the gospel? The shame is we have one commission, not to build the church, the commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The shame is 2,000 years, we haven't done the job. The shame is, it's our shame, folks. God did everything He could possibly do to reach the people. There's no other plan. I heard the story, I read this. Oswald J. Smith, many of you maybe know it. Oswald J. Smith told a story once about Christ as He ascended up from the Mount of Olives into heaven, that Gabriel met Him. And the Gabriel said, Jesus, what's the plan? And Jesus said, I've left my disciples that I've trained. They're going to reach the world. And Gabriel said, what if they fail? What is the second plan? And Jesus said, there is no second plan. If the church fails, people go to hell. If the church fails to evangelize the world, people are going to suffer for our laziness, our inopportunity, because we haven't done what God called us to do. You say, Brother Hamby, you're throwing stones at us. I'm throwing stones right here, folks. I'm throwing stones. I want us to do more. An urgency of the hour. There is no angels doing the work, folks. God has called His people. He said, I'll give you the Holy Ghost so you can jump around. That ain't what it says. He said, so you'll be a testimony unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's why we're filled with this blessed Spirit of God. Not just to talk in tongues, but to present God in our lives, in our families, in our communities, to go beyond what we're naturally possible to do. Folks, bear with me. Think with me tonight. Think hard with me. 2 billion people. Do you realize how many that is? Do you realize how many that is that's never heard the name? And Jesus sitting in heaven saying, I want to get glory. I want to get glory from those people. I want them to hear. And the whole time God is shouting it from the rooftop. Who will go? Who can I send? Who will be a vessel? And we sit back and say, next year, when the car's paid off and the house is paid off and I've retired my job, next year, then I'll do something for God. The whole time, like a waterfall, folks, people are going into hell. I was on a plane one time, and I had a vision. The vision was a massive waterfall, like Niagara Falls. I mean, a massive waterfall. I'm looking at this waterfall in the vision on the airplane, and all of a sudden I come very close to the waterfall, and I looked, and it wasn't, folks, it wasn't water, but it was people of all different of nations going over that waterfall. Indians and Chinese and Arabs and Africans and Americans and Nigerians. They're going over that waterfall and they're clinging one to the other. And they're screaming, somebody help me. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. See, I've seen this before. Pastor Jarvis, he went with me down to India after the tsunami. After it was over, we'd give out money, $30,000+, and sent people to reach the tsunami victims. After it was over, me and Pastor Osborne, Pastor Jarvis, I believe you went on to a different location, and me and Pastor Osborne went down to the tsunami area, literally where houses had been washed away in that massive tsunami. And literally, you could see people sitting outside of what used to be their house saying, please help me. Please help me. It was everywhere. It was rampant. But I looked. They were wanting the financial money. But when I looked, folks, their soul was crying out, please help me. Please tell me who Jesus is. Please offer me hope beyond a cow and a donkey and a moon. Offer me hope beyond Allah. Can you hear them crying out tonight? Please come. Please come. Please send a missionary. Please send somebody to my village. We need help. This week, that brother Hall from Taiwan, he said to me, Brother Hamby, if you ever get time, we've really been laboring in Taiwan. I really would like for you to come. I said, Brother, I'll be there this year. The Randalls, when they heard I would go there, they said to me, Brother Hamby, please come and visit us when you come. We want you to come and preach to our people. We need help. When the brother from Germany, Brother Presley, he heard I was going to Taiwan, he said, do you come through Germany sometime? I said, I do. My airplane comes through there sometime. He called. He said to me, why don't you stop for a few days and preach for us and help us? When he heard that, Brother Stevens called me on Saturday morning. Brother Hamby, you coming to Germany? Please stop in October and help us with the mission. Can you hear the call, folks? Can you hear it? Help us. We only want to do what God called us to do. Can you hear the cry of people as they die one after the other? They die and they perish and they're only asking for the bread of life. We sit with storehouses full across America. Your banks, places, storehouses full, Bibles everywhere. And they're simply saying, give us just a piece of bread. That lady cried out and she said, Jesus, give me just a crumb from the master's table. They're not asking for everything you've got. They just want a crumb, folks. They just want to know you love them. I went to Bihar a few years ago. When I showed up, the pastor squeezed me so hard. He almost broke my ribs. I couldn't breathe. He said, thank you for coming. It's been about 12 years and nobody visited us. I preached a village and on the border of Pakistan. I went to leave. And the pastor said to me, when you coming back, Brother Hamby? I said, I don't know. He said, the last missionary was here 20 years ago. Nobody cares. Folks, they're sitting over there. They're sitting in your back door. They're sitting in your across the street from you in houses tonight wanting to know, is God real? They want to know. The sun came up this morning on London, Kentucky. And there was 100,000 people in this area that don't know Jesus Christ. The sun is setting tonight. How many do you think was saved today? How many do you think is going to be in heaven because the church has made a difference in the community? Let us stand tonight. Oh, hallelujah. When you ask a crazy man to preach, you get crazy messages. Amen. Folks, it's a burden of mine. Sometimes I get on that airplane in Beaumont. I sit on that little plane. I look out the side of that window. Beaumont's a little airport. I look out that side of that window, and on the gate is three little babies, my beautiful wife. And I sit on that plane, and tears run down my face. And I know for the next 28 days, 30 days, I'm not going to get to see them. Folks, the burden, I weep and I cry as that plane takes off from Beaumont, headed to Houston, that little airplane. But by the time it lands in Houston, the tears have stopped because I hear the cry, please come. I know if I don't go, people are going to go to hell. I know tonight, if we don't do all we can do, people are going to perish. 2 years ago, my cousin is in the military in Kuwait. Thank God I didn't tell it this week, but I went to Kuwait and preached this year in Kuwait, Muslim country. They invited me back next year. I'll be able to go preach the entire American army in Kuwait next year. Just opportunities God's given us. My cousin's been in the military for 6 years. He goes for a year. He comes home for 1 week and he goes for a year. I said, Nicholas, I'm sitting at the table with him. I said, why do you go? Why do you leave your wife and 2 kids? And go over there to Kuwait and Baghdad and for the American military. He's not a Christian. He never blinked, folks. He said, if I don't go, my little babies don't have a hope in this nation. If we don't stop Islam over there, it'll overtake this nation and my children will have no hope. That's an American military, person, folks. They're so brainwashed that they know the only hope of this nation is that they go over there and they fight. 1 week a year, he comes home. Folks, I think about it. I think I can run more than I've ever run. I love my wife and kids. I love my home. It'd be easy to sit at home and put a fishing pole out in the river somewhere, kick back with a cool glass of lemonade and hit the high life and just be happy. Folks, how can you be happy when 2 billion people's going to hell because we haven't did the will of God? How can we rest easy at night when there's so many begging, please come? How, folks? Tonight, I want to say in this service, I know I've been long, I'm so sorry. I want to say in this service tonight, if there be one here, maybe I was talking to you a few minutes ago. I talked about somebody coming in lost and going out lost. Maybe that's you tonight. What a shame that we'd try to reach the world and we wouldn't even try to reach the people around us. What a shame if we take up $1 million in the offering for Haiti or Taiwan or India or Mexico. Take up $1 million, but we don't reach our own people and our own family perish. What good is it to raise the money to go around the world if we don't even care about London, Kentucky? Tonight, if there be one here that say, I've been lost, I've been in sin, I've not been serving God, My home is in a mess. My family's in trouble. I know I'm not born again. That be you tonight. Don't leave this house in sin. There's hope. There's grace. There's mercy here. Calling your name. Calling your name. If we would, let's bow our heads and just take a moment as sister sings or we just play. Give God an opportunity to move on our hearts tonight. Saints years ago would just take a moment to wait before God to see what God would say. If you're lost, come meet me in this altar. Come meet me in the front of this church and let us lead you. Let us tell you how to meet this blessed Savior that saves. Begin to pray, church. Surely somebody here doesn't know God. What a shame it would be if they left still in their sins. Help us, God, that not one would perish. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. If there be one here, we're given an opportunity. Paul preached to midnight. I only preached to 8:15. Amen. We got 3 hours and 45 minutes before we get there. We got time. Amen. If you need Christ, don't leave, folks, without Him. Don't leave like you came in. There's a Savior that loves you and died for you. He's calling to you. He wants to take your burden away. He wants your sins to roll away. God wants to do something in your life. He's not asking you to wait till you get perfect. He's not asking you to wait till everything is right in your life to get saved. He wants to save you now and He wants to help you. Would there be one that'd be bold enough to say, it is me. I need salvation. Given an opportunity. I don't know if there'd be one here or not. I want to give God a chance to deal with hearts. Maybe there's a prodigal who really wants to come home, but because of pride, you're holding back. You're holding on to your pew because of pride. The Bible said the Lord can't bless you because of pride. The Bible said because of pride, you won't seek the Lord. Would there be one before we move on tonight? Would there be one? As we change service, as we change order, I just want to say to us now, Jesus came to heal the sick. He came seeking to save the lost, but He also came doing good, healing all oppressed of the devil. In India, China, wherever I've been, when I look at sick people, I don't believe Jesus put sickness on any person in this house. I never believe it's the will of God. I believe it's an oppression of the devil. I believe the devil's come to steal us of that abundant life. I believe the devil's come to steal us of a victorious life. The devil's come like he did against Job. But the story of Job didn't end with the devil. It ended with a man blessed with a double portion. Tonight, if there be one here, I'd say, I'm sick. I have a heart condition, I have a liver, I have cancer, I have a disease. Why don't you come forth tonight and let the elders of the church, why don't we gather around and pray for one that would be sick tonight? If there'd be one here that's sick, we want to pray for you. Go ahead and come forth. Go ahead and come. There'd be one that says, I need a touch in my body. In the Bible, Jesus didn't just reach out and say, bless you, bless you, bless you. That woman pressed in till she touched him. That blind man cried out, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. He went away, folks, seeing that day. That woman went away with the issue of blood, dried up. That Roman soldier had his servant healed as he went on his way. Jairus hunted him down. Till he found Jesus. He said, Jesus, my daughter's sick. I need a touch. Come with me, Jesus. On the way, he heard the bad news. His daughter died. Jesus kept on walking to the house. Jesus got there, said, she's not dead. She's sleeping. Amen. Put the people out, began to pray. The daughter came alive. If you're not willing to press in, you're not going to be healed. Amen. If we would, if some ladies in the church that have faith to trust and believe God, if you'd come with our sister, we want to come around her and pray. We want to believe God tonight for a touch in her body. There be one here tonight, man of God in this house with faith, want to believe God to touch our brother tonight. If you'd come and help us pray, two or three, touching any one thing, it shall be done. Amen. Come with me tonight. Let us pray for our brother. Just lay hands on our sister. Let us begin to pray.